Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, the multitude listened intently to Jesus for 3 days. We know that from some of the parallel accounts, namely the one in Matthew. And the people are so interested in hearing Jesus that they did not realize that they had run out of food. Have you ever found yourself in a situation like they were in? Have you ever been so preoccupied with someone, with listening to that person, that you have forgotten how long you have been away, that you are now far from home, and that you no longer have any food, nor is any food accessible to you? I must say, I have never been in anything quite like that. Sometimes, perhaps, maybe hours have gone by in a good conversation with someone, but even that has never lasted for days. And plus, a conversation certainly is different than listening to one person preach for 3 days. Now, this multitude was so busy listening to Jesus that it is evident that they had run out of food. They forgot to think about it. And even as they were eating their last bits of food, they weren't evidently considering what they're going to do for their next meal. They were listening to Jesus. That was their primary concern. Who is like that? Are you not already thinking about what you are going to be eating next? Perhaps today's gospel is describing more than one miracle. Of course, we have that glorious revelation of Jesus Christ that he is God in his creative ability by taking a few loaves of bread and some fish and feeding it to a multitude of 4,000 people. But it's also a miracle that a crowd of this size would be so engrossed in the preaching of Jesus that they would stay with him for such a long time, for so long of a time, that their provisions run out. It really is amazing. Could you imagine going to church and you arrive and then not just Sunday passes, but then Monday and Tuesday, and then you're beginning to wonder, what am I going to eat? I guess we've run out of food. We've exhausted everything that is found here. And then during those 3 days, watching those who have gathered, intently listening to the word of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, growing steadfastly in that word, gladly hearing that word and keeping that word. Would that not be a most glorious thing? A wonderful event? Sadly, many find themselves getting a little antsy when the services go 5 minutes past an hour. Many want to tune out if the sermon goes on longer than what they feel is the ideal length. I think this account actually shows us something, that the crowd recognized that Jesus' preaching is very important. They were willing to sacrifice things temporal in order to obtain spiritual things. They were willing to sacrifice their time and their meals just so that they can feed on the word and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. They made their primary concern the life-giving word of God. They heard our Lord's word, for it is spirit and life. Now consider yourself. Would you do as this crowd had done? Would you rejoice in hearing the word proclaimed to you for days on end? If you feel that you can put yourself in that place and enjoy listening to Christ and his preaching for such a long occasion, I then invite you to spend more than just, say, 10 minutes a day reading the Bible. I invite you to come to Bible class. I invite you to make sure that you are attending the divine service week after week, that you too can receive the same word of Christ as the crowd did. When we just want to get in and get out, maybe get this whole church thing over with, that shows that we are misplacing our priorities. It shows that we are not so much interested in obtaining the spiritual things because we're more interested in obtaining the temporal things. Now, some will probably argue, well, it's a lot different. Look, there was Jesus, and here we have someone who's not Jesus in the church. So if Jesus were the one preaching to me, then I would give him more time. I'd be happy to listen to him for hours, if not days. But as we sang in our opening hymn in the fourth stanza, we acknowledge that when we hear the one whom Jesus has sent preaching to us, we are hearing Jesus. And also, if you think about it, or if you can recall, there were many occasions in the New Testament in which Jesus was preaching the Word of God, and then he got into some things that the people found to be difficult. For example, in John 6, when Jesus gives his Bread of Life discourse, I'll quote a little bit of that later, but when he gives that, most of the crowd leaves Jesus, and they follow him no longer. So there are many times in which the people could not tolerate our Lord's preaching, and so they left him, as it is recorded in the scriptures. And do recognize this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Right here, you have Jesus who is present through his word, through the scripture lessons which you have just heard, through the sermon which you are currently listening to, and through the Lord's Supper in which you receive the very body and the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is present among you. If you do not take up these wonderful opportunities, then you probably would not even listen to him if he were present in the flesh. We really do have Jesus, and this is a blessing. Jesus through his word, Jesus through the sacrament, he is here. So listen intently and receive what Jesus loves to give you. Not only does he love to inform you of biblical doctrines and of who he is, but he also loves to give you things through this. He's not just simply imparting to you a head knowledge about who God is and the way God would have you live. But through this word, the Holy Spirit is working faith in you, and the Holy Spirit is delivering to you the forgiveness of sins which Jesus earned for you on the cross. That is what you receive. I do find it amazing, though, how void of Jesus many other churches can be. How many churches do not emphasize Jesus very much. So, for example, if you go to a wedding, and it's a Christian wedding, it's in a church, if you do not hear in the service how marriage is a reflection of Christ and his bride, the church, that church service has missed Jesus in the most important way. Or if you go to a funeral and you do not hear of the resurrection of Jesus, which sadly is very common, that church service has missed Jesus in the most important way, in the most comforting way, in fact. At some churches, you hardly hear anything about Jesus' birth at Christmas, or you might not hear much about even his resurrection at Easter. You might think, well, such churches can't exist nearby, or such churches can't even exist in our country, but they do, and they're all around us. In fact, many TV preachers will tell you more about themselves than they will about Jesus. That really is the easy way. It's easy to opine about oneself than to learn about another person and talk about him. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, we preach Christ crucified. After all, Jesus alone is the one who can save you. Jesus alone is the one who atoned for your sins. Jesus alone is the one who died for you on the cross. Jesus alone is the one who rose from the grave for your justification. Jesus alone comes to you today through the word and sacrament to declare to you his forgiveness, cover you with his very righteousness, and declare to you that you are a son of God, meaning you have the exact same inheritance that he does by being the only begotten son. You have what belongs to Christ because you are a member of God's family. These are important matters. Christ is the way of salvation, and this is why we should be willing to listen to him for days on end. And we tend to turn it upside down. We tend to just assume that we're all going to heaven, and so we ignore our spiritual needs and focus on our physical needs. After all, we feel our physical needs a lot more than our spiritual needs. But when we ignore our spiritual needs, our souls do not get fed. And if our souls are not fed by the word and the sacrament, they're bound to die. That is, our faith is bound to shrivel up and die. And so we must always be focused on that one thing needful, the word of God. We must guard ourselves so that we do not get so wrapped up with the goings-on of this world that we become like Martha and not Mary. Martha got a little anxious about her sister. Martha told Jesus to tell Mary to get to work because Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. We'll sing about that in the second stanza of our second communion hymn today. I must admit that I am concerned about our country when it comes to our priorities. Not only our country as a nation, but also those who desire to be of the household of faith. For we see in our society that it is very secular and very little discussion concerning theology and matters of God's word take place outside the church. And that our priorities are normally on earthly things rather than the spiritual things. And that is a huge temptation for us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and who call upon the name of the Lord. Contrasts are sometimes lack steadfastness to Christ with those Christians across the globe who are actually being persecuted on account of their faith. Those who are in Muslim countries, those who are in communist countries, many are dying because they are bold to profess their Christian faith. And then we may find ourselves in our easy chairs, finding little time to meditate on the word of God or to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. We may even find ourselves complaining that we feel that God has not been generous enough to us. Repent. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" The question we should be asking ourselves is, what do we really gain when we gain earthly things? In the end, it's very little. And contrast that with this question, what do we gain when we gain spiritual things? In the end, it's everlasting life and salvation. While the earthly gains are certainly nice, and we recognize them as first article gifts from God, the spiritual things are eternal and better. My friends in Christ, this is what we need to consider. If we gain earthly things, and if those earthly gains bring about losses to our spiritual things, then we must consider those earthly gains as losses. But if we gain spiritually and endure earthly loss, then we have actually gained something. Let me explain this by way of illustration. Maybe you get a great job promotion, the very one that you've been looking for. You know that this job will help you to be happier, more financially independent and just give you and your family a better way of life. Pay rises dramatically. But this job promotion has a catch. You must relocate. You must move to a place where there are no solid churches. Perhaps you're so caught up in your relocation, your job promotion, that you don't do your homework and due diligence to find out if you'll be fed the word of God when you arrive there. And so you take the job. You move. You quit going to church because you can't find anything that preaches to you Christ and Him crucified. You then, or maybe you attend a church that is just as shallow as what you find on many of those TV preachers. This scenario means that you are losing spiritual things. You have lost the pure word of God and the faithful administration of the sacraments. Your earthly gain with this job promotion is a loss. You could say the same if your job requires you to work Sunday after Sunday, in which there's no opportunity to gather in God's house to receive the body and blood of Christ and hear His word. You could even say the same thing at seed time and harvest. If your priorities are not in the church, but rather, if your priorities are out in the field instead of in the ark of Christ's church. But if you gain spiritually and endure earthly loss, that is actually a gain. So if you give up a job, take perhaps a less well-paying job so that you can attend the divine service, you're actually gaining something. If you are generous with your giving to ensure that the gospel will continue to be preached to you and to your children, you have gained something. If you are generous with your giving so that the gospel will be preached to others, you have also helped others gain. You have used your mammon, your unrighteous mammon, for the blessing and benefit of others, as we'll hear about in a couple of weeks. In today's gospel, we see people suffering earthly losses. They've been with Jesus for 3 days and now they have no food. But look at what they were gaining. Look at the great spiritual gains that they had received. Look at how they were fed the word of Christ. Look at how the Holy Spirit was present to bless them throughout their entire time that they were with Jesus. And today's gospel shows that God truly takes care of those who make the word of God their primary concern. Jesus did not just say, okay, I've preached to you for 3 days, you now have no food, you're out in the wilderness, and now you go on your way, I wish you well. But instead, Jesus had a deep-seated compassion for his people, not only so that they would be fed spiritually, but so that they would also be fed physically, so that their own bodily needs would be met. And taking his compassion and putting it into action, Jesus performed this most amazing miracle. Jesus takes these 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. He blesses this food. He gives it to the disciples for the disciples to distribute to everyone. And then everyone eats as much as he needs. 7 large baskets are left over. Everyone is filled. And Jesus supplies for your needs as well. He sees to it that you have food on the dinner table. Granted, your food may not always be the fanciest meal or the nicest foods. You might find yourself on occasion forced to eat beans. But you still have food, which comes to you from our Lord's bountiful goodness. God uses your labors so that you have what you need to support your bodies and lives. And in fact, we ought to look at our work as a blessing from God, and the results of our labors we see are gifts from God. And not only does God feed your body, but he feeds your soul. In Jesus' Bread of Life discourse in John 6, Jesus declared to the multitude, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So what Christ our Lord did for the people then, and he continues to do for you today, is that he feeds both your body and soul so that you can live eternally. By feeding you the word of God, and by feeding you, in particular, the body and blood of Christ, God is giving you spiritual food which strengthens your faith and prepares you to be received into his eternal kingdom, in which you will dwell with him forever. By feeding you, he takes away all your sin. He covers you with the very righteousness of Christ, and he declares that you are acceptable to heaven. In him we have life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.